I read to you Psalm 41. I read to you the whole psalm, and our text for study is verses 1 to 4. Psalm 41, verses 1 to 4. To the choir master, a psalm of David. Blessed is the one who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him. The Lord protects him and keeps him alive. He is called blessed in the land. You do not give him up to the will of his enemies. The Lord sustains him on his sick bed. In his illness, you restore him to full health. As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you. My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish? And when one comes to see me, he utters empty words while his heart gathers iniquity. When he goes out, he tells it abroad. All who hate me whisper together about me. They imagine the worst for me. They say a deadly thing is poured out on him. He will not rise again from where he lies. Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. But you, O Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up that I may repay them. By this I know that you delight in me. My enemy will not shout in triumph over me. But you have upheld me because of my integrity and set me in your presence forever. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. In this psalm, we find that sickness and sin have again united and put David into distress and danger. His enemies are plotting against him and wait for him. They're waiting for him to die. Verse 8, they say, a deadly thing is poured out on him. He will not rise again from where he lies. In verse 10, David prays, but you, O Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up that I may repay them. David is sick and his enemies are sure he will die. And his sin has caught up on him and he cries out to God for mercy. Verse 4, as for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you. Now, most likely, the historic setting of the psalm is during the time of Absalom's rebellion. And David's sickness prevented him from leading the nation as he wanted to. And Absalom plotted against the king during this time. In 2 Samuel chapter 15, verses 1 to 6, we read, after this, Absalom got himself a chariot and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom used to rise early and stand beside the way of the gate. And when any man had a dispute to come before the king for judgment, Absalom would call to him and say, from what city are you? And when he said, your servant is of such and such a tribe in Israel, Absalom would say to him, see, your claims are good and right, but there is no man designated by the king to hear you. Then Absalom would say, oh, that I were judge in the land. Then every man with a dispute or cause might come to me and I would give him justice. And whenever a man came near to pay homage to him, he would put out his hand and take hold of him and kiss him. Thus Absalom did to all of Israel who came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. And as days went by, Absalom took advantage of this difficult period of time during David's life, and he was promoting himself to be king. Psalm 41 verse 9. Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. Most likely, this close friend mentioned in verse 9 is Ahithophel. Ahithophel was David's trusted counselor, and now he had shifted his loyalty to Absalom. When David finally fled from the city of Jerusalem, he learned that Ahithophel had switched sides to Absalom. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verses 30 to 31. But David went up the ascent of the Mount of Olives, weeping as he went, barefoot and with his head covered. And all the people who were with him covered their heads, and they went up weeping as they went. And it was told David, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, please turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Our Lord Jesus quoted verse 9 of Psalm 41, referring to Judas in his upper room discourse with his disciples. So this Psalm, Psalm 41, has messianic overtones. In verse 9, even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. In John 13 verse 18 we read, I am not speaking of all of you. Jesus is saying, I am not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. John 13 verse 21. John 13 verse 21. After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. Both Judas and Ahithophel committed suicide by hanging themselves. In 2 Samuel chapter 17 verse 23, we read, when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his donkey and went off home to his own city. He set his house in order and hanged himself, and he died and was buried in the tomb of his father. Regarding Judas, we read in Matthew 27 verses 3 to 5, then when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he changed his mind and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. They said, what is that to us? See to it yourself. And throwing down the pieces of silver into the temple, he departed and he went and hanged himself. This psalm helps us to take an inventory of our spiritual condition when we find ourselves in times of difficulty. So it's a very important psalm. We can take an inventory of our spiritual condition, especially when we find ourselves in times of difficulty. We can take the spiritual inventory of our lives by asking and answering four questions. So we could title the psalm actually as Four Questions and Answers for Spiritual Inventory. Four questions and answers for spiritual inventory. Number one, the question of integrity. How do we treat others? Psalm 41 verses 1 to 4. Number two, the question of treachery. How do others treat us? Psalm 41 verses 5 to 9. Number three, the question of mercy. How does God treat us? Psalm 41 verses 10 to 12. Number four, the question of glory. How do we treat God? Psalm 41 verse 13. And today we will start with the question of integrity, and that will be our focus of study. How do we treat others? Psalm 41 verses 1 to 4. To the choir master, a psalm of David. Blessed is the one who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him. The Lord protects him and keeps him alive. He is called blessed in the land. You do not give him up to the will of his enemies. The Lord sustains him on a sickbed. In his illness, you restore him to full health. As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you. Before we can claim God's promises, we must examine our own hearts. We must check whether we have sincerely met the conditions that the Lord has laid down. Yes, David prayed for God's blessing based on the conditions given in God's covenant with the nation of Israel. The conditions of blessing were clearly laid down in the law of God. And these conditions for blessing was repeated over and over again in God's law. Now let's go through some of these verses which tell us of the conditions that are required for blessing. Leviticus chapter 26 verses 1 to 13. You shall not make idols for yourselves or erect an image or pillar. And you shall not set up a figured stone in your land to bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and observe my commandments and do them, then I will give you your rains in their season, and the land shall yield its increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall last to the time of the grape harvest, and the grape harvest shall last to the time for sowing, and you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land securely. I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will remove harmful beasts from the land, and the sword shall not go through your land. You shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall chase 10,000, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. I will turn to you and make you fruitful and multiply you, and will confirm my covenant with you. You shall eat old store long kept, and you shall clear out the old to make way for the new. I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their slaves. And I have broken the bars of your yoke, and made you walk erect. So these are blessings that the children of Israel would be given if they obeyed the Lord. Again, we find the conditions for blessing repeated in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 9 to 16. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repays to their face those who hate him by destroying them. He will not be slack with one who hates him. He will repay him to his face. You shall therefore be careful to do the commandment and the statutes and the rules that I command you today. And because you listen to these rules and keep and do them, the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the steadfast love that he swore to your fathers. He will love you, bless you, and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, your grain and your wine and your oil, the increase of your herds and the young of your flock in the land that he swore to your fathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your livestock. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness, and none of the evil diseases of Egypt which you knew will he inflict on you, but he will lay them on all who hate you. And you shall consume all the peoples that the Lord your God will give over to you. Your eyes shall not pity them, neither shall you serve their gods, for that would be a snare to you. Then again, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 to 13, all these blessings were given if alone the children of Israel would obey the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 to 13. And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your barns and in all that you undertake. And he will bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a people holy to himself, as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the fruit of your womb, and in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your ground, within the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasury, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hands. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you shall only go up and not down, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, being careful to do them. So all these blessings upon the people were conditional to obedience. And now David knew that he had no right to ask the Lord to be merciful to him if he himself had not shown mercy to others. In Psalm 41 verse 1, we read to the choir master, Psalm of David, "Blessed is the one who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him." So David knew that if he obeyed, he would be blessed. David had shown mercy to others. He had shown mercy to King Saul. Although he had opportunities to kill Saul, David restrained himself from doing so. He would not kill God's anointed king. David had also shown mercy to Saul's grandson, Mephibosheth, and also to the needy people of the land. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 to 8. And David said, "Is there still anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" This is after he became king in Jerusalem. And David said, "Is there still anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now, there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba, and they called him to David. And the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "I am your servant." And the king said, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God to him?" Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in his feet." The king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "He is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, at Lo Debar." Then King David sent and brought him from the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, at Lo Debar. And Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and paid homage. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold, I am your servant." And David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. And I will restore to you all the land of Saul your father, and you shall eat at my table always." And he paid homage and said, "What is your servant that you should show regard for a dead dog such as I?" So David was kind. He showed mercy to Saul's grandson, Mephibosheth. "Blessed is the one who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him." Psalm 41 verse 1. Now the poor that are mentioned here refers to the helpless, like Mephibosheth, crippled, helpless. The miserable people whose lot in life was difficult. They were dependent on the help of other people. We are reminded of the words of our Lord Jesus speaking on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 verse 7. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Then again in Luke chapter 6 verses 37 to 38. "Judge not and you will not be judged. Condemn not and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." Don't forget, the God of the Old Testament is also the God of the New Testament. He desires to bless his children. So therefore, if you obey him, and just as David showed mercy to Mephibosheth and to many other poor people, God was merciful to David. So David could pray, Blessed is the one who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him. To consider these poor people meant being attentive to their needs and helping them, assisting them. It also meant not judging and blaming them as Job's friends blamed Job. Also, we are not to be judgmental like when the disciples were judgmental toward the blind man. John chapter 9 verses 1 to 4. John chapter 9 verses 1 to 4. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. David had sought to take care for the poor and the needy in his kingdom, and therefore David was praying with integrity. David was praying with integrity. Notice in verse 1, David refers to himself in the third person. Psalm 41 verse 1, blessed is the one who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him. That is a sign of true humility. He is referring to himself indirectly, not directly. He is not promoting himself like the Pharisees. They made such a big noise when they gave alms to the poor. Then in verse 2 and 3, in Psalm 41, David listed the blessings that God would send because David had confessed his sins and he had asked God to be merciful to him. Psalm 41 verses 2 and 3. The Lord protects him and keeps him alive. He is called blessed in the land. You do not give him up to the will of his enemies. The Lord sustains him on his sick bed. In his illness, you restore him to full health. God would protect David from his enemies and prolong his life in the land. He heard David's cry. He was merciful to David. He forgave. God would protect David from these enemies. And God will prolong his life in the land. That in itself would bear witness to his enemies that David was a man favored by God. God would heal David of his sickness and would raise him up from his sickbed. And this would be the gracious and merciful act of the Lord, undeserved by David, but lovingly granted by Yahweh, the God of Israel. Psalm 66 verse 18. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. So David confessed and cried out to God for mercy, and God showed him mercy. If we have not been merciful to others, how can our heart be right to ask for mercy? So it is important that we confess our sins to the Lord and walk in integrity. In fact, verses 1 to 4 speak so much about integrity. Integrity is such an important part of the Christian life. To have integrity means to have character. Integrity is the opposite of duplicity. A person who practices duplicity is a hypocrite. He is a pretender, like the Pharisees. Integrity means to have one heart and one mind and to serve one master. It is single-minded, wholehearted devotion to the Lord. That is what integrity is. Matthew chapter 6 verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So integrity means not being divided and not continually changing. David wrote in Psalm 41 verse 12, but you have upheld me because of my integrity and set me in your presence forever. God knows us by our character. People judge us by what we do. People judge us by our conduct. But God knows our character. Now, when we become more concerned and worried about our conduct rather than our character, then our conduct starts to go in the wrong direction. Conduct and reputation are closely related, but neither can guarantee good character. The Pharisees had a great reputation, but their character was evil. God sees us and He knows us and He says, put me first in your life. When we do that, He makes character. Not only does God see us, we also see Him. David prayed, set me in your presence forever. Psalm 41 verse 12. This is what gives us integrity. Set me in your presence forever. David was so aware of this. Knowing that we are walking, living, thinking and speaking before the face of God. That is what gives us integrity. Remember how Joseph responded when Potiphar's wife tempted him. In Genesis chapter 39 verses 1 to 9. Genesis 39 verses 1 to 9. Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph and he became a successful man and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him. And he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge. And because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house. And he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am. Nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? That is integrity. Knowing that we are walking, living, thinking and speaking before the face of God, that is integrity. And Joseph walked with integrity. Joseph feared God and walked in integrity. When we fear God, we do not have to fear anything else. When we walk in integrity, when we walk in honesty, when we flee duplicity and hypocrisy, then we can face life boldly by the power of God enabling us to live. David was able to face his enemies and the difficult circumstances in his life because of his integrity. He prayed in Psalm 86 verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. You see, this is what integrity does. When we walk in integrity, what happens is this. Integrity unites our mind and our heart to walk in truth. The mind and the heart are united to walk in truth. And this is very important. Otherwise, what happens is we will think one way with our mind and we will do something else with our hearts. But in integrity, what happens is when we walk in integrity, the mind and the heart are united. So it helps to put our lives together. So don't be so concerned about your reputation and conduct that you fail to look after your character. You cannot hide your character from God. So every area of sin must be confessed and forsaken by the power of the Holy Spirit and ask the Lord, get intimate with God. Walk in integrity. Ask yourself, how is my character? Am I integrated, unified in the sense that I have one heart and one mind to serve only one master, the Lord Jesus? Ask yourself that question. Let us bow our heads in prayer.